Andrew is the Aussie bloke living in the US. Heather is the American gal living in Australia. Together, they travel the world sharing strategies on how to put your business on autopilot. Doing business online is no longer about having a website. To get more clients and take care of the ones you have, you will need a map. They've got it. So sit back and relax and welcome aboard. This flight is bound to autopilot your business.
Okay, welcome to another edition of Autopilot Your Business. My name is Andrew McCauley and I'm excited to be on this particular session. And of course, joining me today is the lovely Heather Porter. Hello, Heather.
Hello, hello, Andrew. Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. And we're both very, very excited about this episode because we're going to do something we love, and that is social media.
Social media is everywhere in the news. It's in the movies. It's in the bus ride to work. It's everywhere you go. So why not dive into social media and let's talk about how we can use social media and how we can make it work for your business. Because let's face it, if you're not using social media these days, you're sort of being left on the shelf.
I pretty much say you don't exist. I mean, really, let's face it, with YouTube is, you know, search engine number two as far as how many people go there, and Facebook is, what, the second largest, third largest country in the world by population or people that use it?
Just about. They're currently at 850 million people as we go to air, and they're due to hit 1 billion people sometime this year in 2012.
Love it. Huge. So let's just kind of debunk the myths about social media, talk about it in a really easy to understand way today, and just like literally everybody, you guys need it. You really do need this for your business. So our intention today is to make it easy so you leave this podcast and you say, yep, I know what I'm going to do and why I'm going to do it.
Yeah, so, totally.
And Andrew, you're the social media bloke, are you not? So what a
That's what they call me. That's what they call me.
So I think, I propose that we sort of turn the tables for this podcast and I become more the interviewer today. What do you think?
All right. You got it.
Cool.
You got it.
All right.
We can have a play.
All right. So, Mr. Andrew McCauley, here's your first question. Actually, yeah, let's just talk basically about social media as a whole. Tell me a little bit more about what is social media and where is it going? Just as a general, you know, understanding of what is it? What is social media? Why do we need it?
Well, you know, I guess the term social media can be a little bit deceiving for some people. You know, we look at the word social. Okay, social is, you know, interacting with people. And that's what we do. We've been brought up to interact with people and deal with people, build relationships. But the word media, I think, confuses a lot of people. The word media, traditionally, as we know it, is the media, whether it's TV media, whether it's newspaper media, whether it's radio media. And most of those medias, up until early 2000s, most of those medias were people telling you what to do. It wasn't a conversation at all. You know, people were saying that you'd watch TV and it'd be a one-way conversation. It'd be someone on TV giving you information without you interacting at all back to the TV. You know, and then you've got radio where you're listening to a radio DJ and you're listening to the music because there's no interaction. Apart from when people would call in on a talkback show, most of the time it was one-way traffic. Same with newspapers and magazines. They're all one-way traffic. There's no interaction going on. And then I come along early 2000s when Facebook and MySpace and some of those early social media sites popped up. That's when we started seeing people having a voice, and they could say, hey, I'm here. I can listen. I can respond to what you're saying. And if I don't like you, you're going to know about it.
Sure. So it's two-way. It's basically a two-way conversation.
Totally two-way. And I don't know if the word media should be in that whole thing when we talk about social media, because it's probably stifling a lot of people. It should be something like a social connection or a social relationship more than social media.
Sure.
Just so people can get their head around what it is, because what is also happening today, and we'll go into this a little bit deeper in probably another show, but people are getting that idea that it's media, we have to tell people what to do. We have to tell them one-way conversation. We have to sell them something. And we see so many people on social media platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or any of those, that all they're doing is telling people, buy my stuff, go here, do this. and they're losing that connection with people because they're not doing it the right way.
You brought up a really interesting distinction, actually. They're kind of hardwired into the old thinking of tell people to buy, where actually social media, from what I use it for and what I understand it to be, is literally a place to hang out with your friends, family, client, and just be a little bit more of who you are and give a little bit more value back into the world.
And that's exactly why I say it should be called social connection or social relationships or something like that. Yeah. Because that's what it is. It's hanging out and communicating two-way, backwards and forwards, about what it is that you need to talk about, adding value to the conversation. You know, and you hear this all the time. You don't go to the pub, you don't go to a coffee shop with a friend, and all you do is tell them what they should be doing and buying your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you build a relationship because it's a communication tool. And this is exactly what social media is all about. Everything you've learned in business... Now, the business rules have never changed. It's just the way the delivery platform has changed that people are not picking up on.
You know, I have some of our clients, and they say to me, so what am I supposed to say on Facebook, for example? What do I actually say? And I say, basically, pretend like you've walked into a networking event, and whatever you would say in that event is appropriate to say on your Facebook page. So you wouldn't actually go up to somebody you've never met face-to-face and just say, hi, I have a free report, sign up now for it. Or,
yeah.
Hey, 50% off, go get it now. Like, you have to build a relationship so they actually understand who you are at first.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about the platforms that exist. So big picture, what social media platforms are actually out there right now?
Okay, well, there's probably around about... actually, I don't even know the number, but I'm talking in the hundreds. There's social media platforms in the hundreds. Now, most people think, hey, what are you talking about? I thought there was only two or three.
Mm.
In actual fact, there's hundreds of different platforms out there. And some of them are more directed for certain individuals or certain groups of people. But most of them are accessible to everybody. It's just some do different things over and above others. And then, of course, there's probably the top five, which I call the big five. And I'll give you a quick rundown of what each of those top five are, because everyone's pretty much heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the top five at the moment, in no particular order, is Facebook, obviously number one. Everyone's on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, then you, as you said, you don't exist.
Yeah.
A lot of people are still scared to be on Facebook too, by the way. And I've been going through a couple of training sessions with some people recently about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not sure what to do and how to interact. And
sure.
The biggest fear is looking silly in front of other people. But the one thing I'll say about these platforms is that, you can't break them.
Yep.
You can get on Facebook and you can get on Twitter and LinkedIn and YouTube and all of these. You will not be able to break them. Let's face it, Facebook pay people to try and break it. They're paying teams of people to try and break it because they want to make it as safe as possible. So if you're worried about breaking things, you will not be breaking anything, I can guarantee that. The other thing that people are worried about is the fact that how do I use it if I'm not very technically minded?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, 850 million people out there are not all internet gurus. You know,
really?
So they really aren't. So they design these things, they design these platforms for people that have very low internet usability. They have to make it as friendly as possible.
Yes.
Because if they don't, they wouldn't have 850 or a billion people using it. So they are generally pretty user-friendly, and it's not that hard to get on board. So that's go on.
You talked about Facebook, and so what are some of these other ones, the big ones? So you've just said, wow, there's hundreds of them, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, really? I'm not even using maybe a few of these right. So what are the ones I should focus on, I guess? So there's Facebook,
okay.
But what else?
So Facebook's the first one, and Facebook, just quickly, a general overview of Facebook is on Facebook you'll find a lot of old friends. You can connect with people, you can do all sorts of things like post videos, post photos, put all sorts of links there and that sort of stuff. So it's a great platform just to share your life, just to connect with people. You don't have to share what you had for breakfast. You don't have to do all that sort of stuff. Just share what you find interesting and valuable and something that's going to add value to other people as well.
Yep.
So that's Facebook. The next one is Twitter. Now, Twitter confuses a lot of people. And the main point of confusion is that you've only got 140 characters to convey your message. Now, 140 characters is not a lot. And many people think, well, what can you say in 140 characters? Well, all you need to do is jump onto Twitter and you'll see millions of results every minute of what people can say in 140 characters or less.
And that brings actually me to another question, another point. A lot of people say, well, isn't it just incessant ramblings? Like, why? What's so valuable about just little ramblings all the time that are happening on Twitter? Why do you need it? What is it for?
Totally. One of the greatest things I like about Twitter is it has one of the best real-time search engines. Now, by that I mean, if I'm looking for... Now, let's say... we all heard about Whitney Houston dying on the weekend. Now, if I was to go to Google on Sunday morning, US time, and type in Whitney Houston, I would have got a whole range of different results from Google. I would have got her history, her background. I may not have got much about her death because it wasn't hitting the websites so that Google could index those particular articles.
Okay.
Right? So... Google would have, you know, they'd have information about her songs, her Grammy Awards and all that sort of stuff, and where she grew up and fan pages and all that sort of stuff. But the current news, unless I'd clicked on the news and found some relevant sites, the current news actually didn't report her death until 27 minutes after Twitter started doing it. So
wow.
If I was to look for a current, and I saw this today, this article today, if I was to go and find current news about Whitney Houston's death, I would find everything I needed to know within minutes of her dying, essentially, because that's what people do. They're sending the information that's current. The good thing about Twitter is it grabs that information and gives it to you within seconds. So this search engine is accessing the data within seconds of people posting it.
So it's like an amazing news source as well.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Now, you can talk about news source and say, well, that's good if I wanted to know the news, but I really don't care. Okay, great. So here's a way that I use Twitter just for business purposes. Let's say that you are a business coach, for instance.
Yep.
And you might do a search on the term business coach or business advice or need business advice. Now, if I was to type in that term and somebody just an hour or two beforehand had written a tweet that's saying something like, hey, help, I need some business advice, my business is going down, and I was a business coach, I could easily contact that person within, you know, minutes of them actually posting that tweet and saying, hey, guess what? I'm a business coach. I know you need some business advice. How about we get together and I can give you some advice?
I love it. So basically from in more of a layman's perspective, so you're kind of looking at Facebook as a place to almost develop your personality and your relationship and what you can give and help people out with, whereas Twitter is more, would you say, for research and very timely information of what's going on in your space and how to find clients as well?
Exactly. And I think that's great. A very good timely information source. So, you know, as soon as someone says, oh, I need some business advice, you're not missing the bus by looking at a Google search that's maybe a couple of days old. You're there within minutes or hours saying, hey, I've got the answer for you. And all of a sudden, that person says, wow, somebody's come to my rescue. So you can find all sorts of great information. If you're looking for an answer to something, you can't find it anywhere on the net, post it on Twitter and you'll see some great results.
Love it. That's a very great distinction on the value of Twitter, because it is so much more than what people just think. It's, oh, it's a quick little tweet here and there, but it's an incredible market research tool. It's an incredible timeliness tool, finding clients, and then actually another quick question on that before we move on to the next platform. So we've talked about researching and, you know, finding people that are asking questions and maybe potential new clients. But I'm still a little bit confused as to what I, as a user, would post. What would I actually say on it?
Well, you can do similar sort of things as you would on Facebook. So it may be, the whole idea is adding value to the people that are following you. So if you've got a whole range of followers, they're following you for a reason. Now, most of the time, they're following you for a specific reason because they've come to you, your profile, through something, whether you've posted in your bio that you are a business coach with knowledge or something like that, whatever it happens to be in your bio, you know, a branding expert. People are saying, well, if you're a branding expert, I want to hear what you've got to say. So I might find you on Twitter and I'll say, okay, you're a branding expert. Cool, let me see what you've got to say. So you may be going along and you may just post out some tips, like tip number, first tip of the day. So you might say, and you put a tip on branding. So I'm looking at you to add value to what my knowledge base already is. Right, so just by saying, let's give me a branding tip. Just give me a quick little tip. Give me a branding tip off the top of your head.
How to answer the question, what do you do?
Okay, so you may have a blog post, for instance. Let's say you've written a blog post because it's much more than 140 characters long.
Yes.
So you might have written a blog post or done a video or something like that on how to answer the question, what do you do? So you may go to Twitter and say, just written a post on how to answer what do you do? And you put a link in there to your blog.
Got it. Okay, got
right,
it.
Right, so now you're putting links. So the key to Twitter is not just answering the 140 characters, but you're putting links inside your tweets so that people can get more information. Like a teaser. It's almost like a, hey, here's a headline. Now come and read the full story.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, Twitter's more about headlines, whereas Facebook is more about personality, isn't it? Because you obviously have so much more space to talk about things.
Totally.
So you kind of cut it down quick, short and sweet on Twitter, and then you elaborate more on Facebook.
Exactly. And I guess that's a good point. It's the quick version, the headline version of the news. If you want to read more about the headlines, click on the links that are often in their tweets to find out more.
Love it. Great. Okay. I'm clear, Andrew. So what else? What else do we have to use in our social media tool belt?
Well, let's talk about YouTube, I guess, is the next one.
Okay.
YouTube is the video sharing website. And just recently, Video announced that it now uploads 60 hours of video to its servers every minute. 60
That's
hours
insane.
Of video. Isn't it ridiculous?
Wow. Yeah.
60 hours of video every minute to YouTube. Now, why is there so much video going on? Because, I'll tell you why, mobile phones or cell phones these days are getting better and better with better quality videos. The people are taking videos of everything. Every single thing you see is being videotaped now because everyone has a video camera in their pocket. And it's only going to get more prolific.
Yeah.
So the uptake of that is that video, I mean, a year or two ago, they had a thing called a flip camera and flip went out of business. Then they had the Kodak ZI-8, which was a great little camera. Kodak's going out of business now too. These cameras aren't selling anymore because everything that you need is inside your phone. And the phones are only getting better, as I said. So there's more videos being uploaded as we go through YouTube. So why should you be on YouTube? Because that's where people are watching now. People are spending nights at a time on YouTube rather than TV or videos.
You know what else, too? I was just teaching a group the other day because I'd read something really interesting about YouTube, that people go to YouTube to find out how to learn things, so to get tutorials. So they'll go to YouTube as their search engine, like Google, to type in how to and then fill in the blank. So
that's the
place. Yeah, same. So that's the place if you're positioning yourself as an expert or your business or your services. That's where you want to be to actually show what your services can do for people, isn't it?
Oh, totally. And it's the best place to do it because people know where to go now. They know that YouTube is a how-to place. It's a site full of funny cat videos and how-tos. You know, so you can do anything you want. You can learn anything you want on YouTube pretty much. And it's just an amazing amount of information for free. So you want to start using that. Now YouTube has just changed a whole range of their back end and their dashboard style stuff, and it's becoming more and more social now. So when you log into YouTube, There are people recommending other videos for you. There's connections being made similar to what Twitter and Facebook are doing, so you can post updates and things like that. We're in the middle of doing an entire new product on YouTube right now because there is so many changes to YouTube, so many cool features of YouTube that people just don't know it because they're not used to it just yet.
Love it. Love it. You know what else? I have to tell a quick little story off on a little tangent. You know how in YouTube where you're watching videos in your space of the things that you want to learn more about, and then suddenly down the right-hand side you see it, you know, a scary face or scary clown video or like a funny cat video, and you start to kind of go down the wormhole and you're clicking on all these videos. The other day I went down a very freaky wormhole where there were kind of deformed people videos, and this the one thing I absolutely loved and always would always stay with me is that one of the comments right up at the top underneath the video was, "Ooh, so I've gone to that side of YouTube, have I?" Just had to share that because it's what is great, what I guess that story proves a point, is that the way it's designed is to have you click around and hang out there for a while. So there's all these great little tools, right, that you can have your video showing up on the right-hand side is the suggested videos and all that.
I think we'll do an entire podcast about YouTube tricks and tips because I've just come away from a place where I've learned a whole range of new cool ones, which I'm testing right now, and I'm getting some amazing results.
Yeah.
So I think we'll have to share that on a separate podcast.
Definitely. Actually, I'm already feeling that there has to be a separate podcast for each of these tools because there's so much on each thing.
I think we'll do that too.
Yeah.
You know, just for the listeners, I'll give you a quick tip about wormholes and how to avoid them or how to go down them with a safety rope back to where you were. I often find myself looking at those wormholes, and if you're not sure what I'm talking about, a wormhole is essentially where you think you're going to look at one video and something else grabs your attention and you go and click on that, and then something else will grab your attention. And as you said, the next thing you know, you're down a really weird place.
Yep.
I'll often open those videos with a right click of my mouse and open in a new tab. So the original video that I'm watching, I'll keep it open in a tab, and I'll open the wormholes in separate tabs so I can easily step out of those tabs and close them down as I go, so I still remember exactly what the original video was and why I was there in the first place.
It's a good little tip, Andrew. I like that.
So it saves me hours of time.
So I guess on that note, let's go into another little more serious social media tool. And this one is LinkedIn. And I'll just preface this with saying that most of the clients that come to us say, "No, I don't do anything on LinkedIn. I don't really understand why I need to. Isn't that where you just put your CV or your resume? Isn't that just for professionals? Blah, blah, blah." So what is LinkedIn really, and why is it such a great tool?
I think LinkedIn, to be honest with you, is probably one of the best tools. I've got more work out of LinkedIn than pretty much anything else. And I don't do enough on there, and I'm still getting more work than anything else. So LinkedIn is almost like, dare I say it, a Facebook for professional people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sparing the gamey apps. There's no Farmville or Frontierville or any of that sort of stuff. And there is people selling and that sort of thing on there, and that's going to happen anywhere you go, but it's not selling like ridiculous amounts of selling. It's more professional people connecting with each other and sharing ideas and common knowledge.
Okay.
Now, your profile information will house a lot more information in it than would a profile on Twitter or a profile on, say, Facebook. So the great thing about LinkedIn is that you can pretty easily become an expert in your area quite easily. And all you need to do is have a great profile filled out. But there's other things like joining groups.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole range of groups on LinkedIn that you can share common knowledge with people from those groups. You can answer questions. People will post questions and answers all day, posting questions, and you can answer them. In fact, they'll often have, you know, 15, 20, 30 different people answering the same question. And what it does is it lets you become the expert, and people see, wow, he's answered another question or she's answered this question. I want to go and find out more about that person. And just by answering questions, I get people coming to me saying, "Hey, that's a great answer. I never thought of doing that." And because I've given them something new or something different or something even let's, dare I say, a little bit secretive of what I do, mm-hmm. people want to find out more about me and who I am. I just got one today even from LinkedIn saying, wow, I never knew that you could do that on that particular topic. That's amazing. I've never heard of anyone doing that before. Hey, let's connect even more. Now, is that making him any money? No, it's probably not at this stage, but could it? Hey, it definitely could. It could be something that leads to something else.
Definitely. Yeah. And so then a question on that. So I would be clear on how to use both Facebook and LinkedIn. Do mm-hmm. you post the same sorts of things on both those platforms? And if so, why? Or if not, why not? So what's the difference of really, you know, positioning yourself on an expert in both of those?
Once again, it's a platform for it's a platform for more professional people. So if you're on Facebook and you're posting some great photos of a barbecue on the weekend, it's not going to really cut it too much on LinkedIn. People want to know professional information rather than trivial. But at the same time, you still should appear as a person rather than a robot or a logo. So you want to give your information, you want to tell people what you're doing on LinkedIn, but just remember that you're representing your brand and yourself. So you want to keep it professional, but also have a human element to it as well.
Okay, so I'm going to recap so far as how I understand these platforms based on what we've said. So
okay, good.
So Facebook is your holistic brand. You as a person, your personality coming forward. It's you know, bits of photos, it's funny little facts, it's questions, it's conversations. Then
yes.
you have Twitter, which is your headlines. It's a quick way of building, you know, entering into new markets, doing research, and also getting new blood into your business, into your funnel.
Yes.
Then you have LinkedIn. This is where you get to kind of show off your expertise. This is where you get to position yourself as the expert. Although you may do that slightly in other places like Facebook and Twitter, this is where you really get to build your credibility and authority in a space.
Totally.
Then you have YouTube. That's where you get to teach people what you do, right? In videos, you actually get to explain and show what you do. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you know what? Spot on. It's not, and on YouTube, it's not just what you do,
yep.
but it's also what you've done for people too. Like you can show some results, show
Got
videos
it.
Of testimonials. You can show videos of how other people use your product or service.
So very quickly, what we're learning here is that the reason why you need all of this and all of it working together, because each thing does a very different important thing for your brand. But left alone, if you're just using one of these little pieces of the puzzle, it's not going to give the whole picture of who you are and what you can do for somebody.
Totally. And that's exactly right. It's all about using all of this stuff together so that your brand is being completed. So you're not missing anybody. Now, people say, well, what if I've got friends that are friends on Twitter and they're also my friends on Facebook? Won't they get sick of seeing the same thing? Well, the simple fact is that you're not likely to have any friends open, have Facebook and Twitter open at the same time looking at that sort of information. You know,
yeah.
So, and don't even worry about, if someone sees the same post twice. It's not a big deal.
You know, it might actually just convince somebody, because we're all so busy sometimes, even if you see something twice, you're actually going to click into it on the second time maybe.
Yeah. And the other thing I say is, if you've ever driven to work, or if you've ever been in the radio, or if you've ever watched TV when news comes on, and let's say the 7 a.m. news and you listen to a radio report about a news item, and then at 8 o'clock you listen to the news again, and what? It's not an original item? It's exactly the same as the 7 o'clock news? They repeat it. They've been repeating it forever. It doesn't matter if you hear the same thing over and over again. I mean, don't go overboard and post the same tweet every 10 minutes. But if you post it one or two or three or four times, it's not going to ruin your reputation. That's for sure.
Very, very good point. And there is a lot of noise and a lot of information constantly surrounding all of us nowadays. So chances are, like you said, that somebody's not going to be sitting in YouTube, Google. We haven't even gone into Google yet. We're hitting that next. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. They're not going to be hanging out in all those at the same time. So, you know, exactly right. So you don't really have a risk of overwhelming or giving too much information to people.
Totally.
Which brings me to Google, which I just kind of slid in there very quickly. The coveted Google Plus, which is all over everybody's lips right now, although no one really, really understands what it is, and do they need it, and if they need it, how much do they actually need of it right now? So what's Google Plus?
Google Plus, or G Plus, as it's known, is the new kid on the block. And the new kid on the block is growing really, really fast. And why do you want to use it? Well, it's Google's third or fourth attempt at social media. And this time I think they're on a winner. And it's growing rapidly. Now, the reason it's growing rapidly is it's letting people connect in a different format. They have a... I mean, this is not the only thing it's good for. It does a lot of things that Facebook does already. So you can share videos and you can share information. But the power of Google is that it's linking all of its information, its social information, to Google search results now. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be one of the biggest things. Because when you're doing a search for something on Google, you will find that if somebody in your circles, they call them circles rather than friends or groups, they're called circles. If somebody in your group has recommended, or what they call plus one, it's the same as what the like button is to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So you plus one something. So if you go to a website, let's say I go to your blog site, Heather, and you've written a blog about branding, and I click on the plus one button. Okay. It means I've publicly told the world that I like that post. So all of my friends and all of the people that are connected with me in my circles know that I've actually endorsed that blog post.
Right, now, go ahead.
Let's say your blog post is on branding for women. Okay, the blog post is about branding for women. I've given it a plus one.
Okay.
Now, let's say another friend of mine on my Google Circles goes to their computer and they type in branding for women in Google. The very first result that they're going to see is anything that's based on essentially like word of mouth, which means if any of their friends in their Google circles, which I'd be one of them,
mm-hmm.
Has plus one something that's relevant to their search term, that is going to be the number one result in the Google search.
Just because it was plussed by one of their friends.
Just because it's been plussed by one of their friends.
Wow.
So this is how powerful it's going to be. It's going to be amazing. The more you plus one, so here's a little tip. The more you plus one things out in Google world, the more your face will show up in all of your friends' results, because you're out there telling the world that you endorse certain bits and pieces, certain blog posts, certain sites.
What an amazing way to position yourself as an expert, right? As somebody
totally.
The place
so every time
to go.
You see, yeah, every time you see something, go and plus one it if it's in your industry, because those search results are going to start showing up, and your face is going to be next to them saying, "Hey, remember me? I'm the person who plus one this."
What an amazing tool. So, okay, so yeah. The plus stuff, but is it like Facebook? I mean, do you have a profile and a photo? And
certainly do you have a profile, you have a photo, you have a whole section. We didn't talk about pages on Facebook, but Google also has their own business page as well now. So you can create a business page for your business, which I recommend you do.
Mm-hmm.
And just today, this is the first time I've ever saw this, and I'm trying to see if I can find another a repeat of this, and you probably haven't seen this yet, H, either. But when I did a Google search this morning for something, let me see if I can just replicate it as we're speaking right now. But when I did a Google search for a particular topic, yep, there it is. The very first... So I did a search for Google on social media.
Uh-huh.
Now, not only does the plus ones and that sort of thing come up on the top of the search results, but on the right-hand side where ads would normally go, it's now giving me people and pages on Google Plus.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I'll have to send you a copy of this too, but now it's coming up with people and pages on Google Plus related to social media. And it's got the first person as Mari Smith, the second one is somebody else and somebody else. And it tells me what circles they're in for me, how I'm connected to them, and what is the information about this person. These are their business pages popping up.
What an
amazing... It's not their websites, it's their... So that's new today. Brand new, hot off the press. We're doing We're doing a podcast as it rolls out today.
So imagine, I love that because that's how fast this stuff moves. But imagine getting in on this right now, guys. You listening to this right now, imagine going out there and being one of the first people in your industry to actually create these business pages and get out there, and suddenly you'll quite easily be able to position yourself as authority in that space, because I have a feeling that people are a little bit overwhelmed and a little bit kind of, I don't know about this Google Plus thing. So for those of us that want to move quick and get in there first, there'll be big benefits for that.
Totally, totally. So I'm not going to scare you too much with Google Plus. All I'm going to say is get on there and have a play with it. You know, don't feel like you're going to break it. Just go in and just see what it's about. There are plenty of places like YouTube. You can go and find out exactly what's going on. But go and check it out and see for yourself and how these things are working.
And on the next episodes too, we'll actually walk you guys through exactly how to do that. So when Andrew says go and have a play and get set up, and we'll show you where to go, where to log in, how to create your account, and all the things that you need to keep in mind when you're doing so.
Exactly, exactly. So yeah, so that's Google Plus in a nutshell.
So there's something else that's kind of come up recently that's also seems to be like it's going to be quite big, and I'm just curious on your thoughts on that as well. It's called, and let me know if I pronounce this correctly, but is it Pinterest?
Ah, Pinterest. Pinterest. Actually, Pinterest is like a rocket out of the gates. It is. In the last 3 weeks, Pinterest has gone from zero to the fastest growing social site ever. Ever.
So it only makes sense that we're going to talk about it then. We've got to talk about it if that's happening.
All right, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of Pinterest. I'm still trying to work out the concept of Pinterest and how it got so big so fast.
Wow.
But here's what it's essentially about. Here's my take on it, because there's not much written out there about it, so I'm going to give you my take on it.
Okay.
Pinterest is like it's like Twitter but with pictures.
Okay.
You create pin boards, what they call pin boards, or boards, and you pin things to the board. And often it's a picture, it'll be an image or something like that. So you might see, you might have a photo, some photos that you've taken for a party, and you might want to create a board that's called family board, and you pin your photos to the board, and you share it with other people. Now, the reason Pinterest is taken off so fast is that you can link it with your Twitter friends, you can link it with your Facebook friends, and that sort of thing. So people in your circles get to know pretty quickly that you're a part of Pinterest.
Do you know, my sister actually used this the other day, and from my understanding is it sort of started out for women, didn't it? Because women would post, you know, their wedding dress ideas or recipes.
Exactly.
And because of how women work, we all like to gossip and have a chat and share ideas. And so I think that's probably why it spread so quickly. But what I loved that she said is she put up a photo of Gerard Butler, the actor, and she said to me, I created an account, I stuck up a photo of Gerard Butler, and it got repinned about 100 times in less than an hour. And I said, what? And she said, oh, it's just because he's hot, of course. But that is interesting in and of itself, that you could go in and create an account, put your first photo up, and have it re-spread within an hour.
Repinned, yeah. It gets repinned real quick. Mm. And the good thing about it is there's a whole range of smart marketers that are thinking about this and going, well, how can we do that? So they're putting product pictures up. They're putting images of their logos and that sort of stuff, or things that have worked for them. I am going to start using it for keynotes. When I'm doing some keynotes, all my PowerPoint slides, I'm going to pin those up as an image. Each one of those PowerPoints will be an image.
Oh, I can't wait to hear the results for that. That'll
yeah, so Pinterest, P-I-P, in the word interest, with the letter P, Pinterest.
Yeah.
It's on fire. You'll hear about it everywhere. It's going crazy. There's some really cool stuff in there. The good thing about Pinterest is you can go and people can pin something from your website. Let's say you've got a picture of your item. Mm. Somebody comes along to your website and they want to pin the picture to their pin board. They can pin it, but Pinterest will still give you credit for your website.
Wow.
They'll give you credit. So you're not, people aren't ripping your picture off and claiming it as their own. They're saying, hey, this is where the original picture's housed. This is where it came from. So if people are putting your pictures on their boards and they're getting repinned, then it's all of a sudden turning viral for people to see what's out there.
So right now I'm feeling two things. I'm feeling very, very excited about all of this now that we've collectively talked about what's available. But I'm also feeling overwhelmed. And I know that if I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed, that anybody listening to this that's kind of new in this space is probably their head's about ready to pop off. So how...
I would say that's a bad lie.
How do you... Or some might say they're feeling a little lopsided. By the way, guys, that's a little joke that Andrew and I have. When we're very busy, we say my head feels lopsided. So it's okay if you're feeling that right now. But the question is, what can you do about it? How do you use these tools in a way where you're not spending 18 hours a day just using these tools?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that comes up all the time. It's like, you know what? How much do I have to learn? Do I have to go and learn each one of these? Is it going to take me hours and hours and hours to learn? And then when I do learn, how am I going to even think about spending all the time posting my information to all these different sites? So, you know, one of the great things about all this is that there are some tools out there which let you do a lot of it at once. So it will connect several different platforms together so you can post a similar subject out, or you can use a dashboard, you know, things like TweetDeck or Hootsuite. That's TweetDeck. I think we'll have to stick that in the resource section of the podcast site. It lets you manage that sort of stuff. So if you find something you want to post, you can post it out to one of the platforms, or you can post it out to all of the platforms that are connected. So it lets you control that sort of stuff easily without having to spend hours and hours and hours in doing that sort of thing.
And what about reading people or staying in touch with people across all of your platforms? Does it also sort of allow you to do that? How do you...
Totally. Like with Hootsuite and TweetDeck, you can set some alerts. So if you've got... Let's say you've got some favorite people that are posting regularly, and you want to find, you don't want to miss a tweet or a post because you find that their information is relevant and beneficial for you. You can create a little alert for them so that their name, you get a stream, if you like, what they call a stream of information just from that person. So it's not getting lost in all of the other noise that's going on there.
Wow. Okay. So there is some good tools. Do they take a long time to learn?
They're quite simple. They're quite simple. And the reason is that they're simple is because a lot of people want to use them, and a lot of people don't have the best technical skills to go and learn something complicated. So they want to make sure that it's easy for everybody to use.
Got it. Okay. Okay, so then we've talked about the big five and then maybe big six with Pinterest in there. We've talked about the tools that you can potentially use to automate and save yourself some time. One question, you know, as we start to kind of come closer to closing on this podcast episode, is the best practices. Like there's you know, people spamming, there's people that are adding forcefully or just without asking you first, people add you into groups in Facebook. There's all sorts of little things going around right now on social media that I guess people are not very happy with. They feel like their privacy is not protected as well. So what, as a, I guess, fundamental rules, what are some rules that we can all follow to use social media in the best way?
I guess the first one is don't spam people. So don't go out and just blast your list with something that's not valuable. Go and give them information. Make sure that the information that you're giving them is going to add value to your relationship with that person. Mm. After five or six pieces of valuable information, then give them something to go and look at on your own. It may be your own blog post, it may be a sales page, it may be a video of yours. But make sure that the information you're giving people is not really peeing people off. So that's one of the first things. The second one is just have it conversationally. You know, just chat as if you were talking at a coffee shop or a bar or something like that.
Yep.
As far as privacy goes, you want to make sure that your own privacy settings, you should review those regularly, so that you're not getting a whole range, because you'll get inundated with information from these sites by default, they will set your information so that you're getting emailed every time somebody does something on your sites. Go and check your privacy settings and your account settings so that people aren't bombarding you with irrelevant information.
Yeah.
That's one of the first things I do on those sites. Just check your social settings and account settings on those sites as well. Other best practices is if people ask you a question, answer them back. Don't be rude. There's no point being rude or obnoxious on any of these sites because it'll only go around and come back and bite you on the bum. So just be pleasant. If somebody's being nasty to you, just walk away. Defriend them, leave them, but don't jump into a slanging match. I've seen that all too often, and I've seen it regularly and lately, mm-hmm. of a slanging match, and it's just ugly. It's not good for anybody. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. At the end of the day, people are going to look at you and go, why are you stooping down to that particular level?
Good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
And then the main ones, and common sense is the other one. Just use common sense.
Yeah. And you know, like we were saying before, just be yourself. I mean, if you're quirky, be quirky. If you're funny, be funny. You know, whatever you are, be that way online, because people love to do business with people. People build, you know, you build trust slowly over online. And if you're trying to be something that you're not, it does come out and it does look like you're being wooden or you know, trying something on. So just be yourself.
Be you, yeah. Be you. Don't be someone else you're not.
Exactly. Exactly. So I guess the next question on this would be, what is the best place to get started? What should I do next after listening to this podcast? And I know now that I want all of these accounts. What do I do next to not overwhelm myself, but to actually take some baby steps to move forward?
Well, yeah, not overwhelm yourself is the first step. Don't get overwhelmed with it. If you're not on all of them by the weekend, then that's okay as well. Just take them at one step at a time. Just say, 1 week, I'm going to go and look at Facebook. I'm going to go and check it out if you haven't looked at Facebook. If you haven't looked at YouTube, go and see what YouTube's about. Have a play with it. Go and let yourself run down some rabbit warrens and just find out where it takes you. Have a look at what people are doing. You'll be amazed at the quality of stuff that's out there. And I'm talking not on the good end. I'm talking on the low end. Mm. And, you know, and we're talking people that have got thousands and hundreds of thousands of hits on their channels with the worst videos ever on how to, but they're getting hits. They're amazingly popular, and so don't let perfection stop you. Whatever it is, don't stop there and go, well, I haven't got the right clothes, or I haven't got the right camera or microphone or computer. Don't let that stop you. Just get out there and make something. Upload a video to YouTube, see how it works, and then rip it down. Just delete it.
Exactly, and that's the key about perfection in the internet. You can never be perfect online because online moves too fast to allow you to have practice enough to be perfect.
Exactly, and let's face it, when you're starting out, you're not going to have 6 billion people looking at your website the first minute you launch it. Unfortunately, that's not the case, and we're going to talk about how you can get not 6 billion people, but more than one person. Yeah. Looking at your website down the track when we talk about some traffic strategies. But get out there and just do it. No one's going to find you. No one's going to see it. Give it an attempt. Make it as bad as you can so you can learn from your mistakes.
And another thing, too, that I think is great is to get started easily on Facebook or Twitter is to go and find 10 people on each of those, 10 people or pages, and just look at them in the morning each day. Spend 15 minutes just having a look to see what they're doing. 10 people or businesses that you like, and then you can kind of get an idea just by watching people on what you would want to do when you actually start to grow your presence using these tools.
Yeah, take notes. Use a swipe file or take notes and that sort of thing. So
exactly.
So get started. Just get on those. Get and have a play with them. Look for people that you know. Connect with them. Ask people that you don't even know. Hey, how'd you get started? Or what was your best tip for getting started on this particular item?
Or go to Twitter search and type in, how do I get started?
There you go.
On Twitter, Facebook, etc. Yeah, YouTube search.
All of those.
Another thing too then, I guess, would be, because we do want to dive deep into each of these five, and maybe even Pinterest, because there's a lot of movement there in the future, in our future episodes. So guys, when you're listening to this, and as you start to have a play with all these different tools, write down your questions, please, and visit us. Go to autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast and you'll see the episode. This is episode number 5. Go on into episode number 5. We have a commenting space there. Leave us your questions, please, on anything. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, Google+, even Pinterest. And what we would love to do is actually compile your questions, and as we go into each of these topics further, we'll actually answer these questions on our future episodes.
Yes, totally. Definitely.
Anything else, Andrew, the social media bloke, Macaulay, to add to the end of this generalized social media and why you need it in your business and life podcast?
You know, I think for now, we've fried enough people's brains to go and do much more. There's a whole. I mean, we could keep going, and I do on other courses and stuff. But for now, my biggest takeaway is go and have a play. Go and get started. Start having a look around. You'll have heaps of questions. In fact, get those questions getting ready, because when we do our particular podcast on each of these different platforms, we're going to be able to answer them before we even get to the end of it. So send those questions in while you're having a play right now, and we'll answer those while we're on the podcast.
autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast and just go to episode number 5 and leave your questions there right now while you're listening to this. Go do it now, and then we can get back to you and let you know.
And then you can plus one it, make sure you like it, retweet it, yeah, and send it on LinkedIn and make a video and put it on YouTube.
Great.
Whatever you do, tell your friends.
Yes, please. No, thanks so much, Andrew. This has been great. I mean, I love your knowledge in social media. I use it all the time myself, but there's always so much more that I could be doing, and this once again has shown me just how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Oh yes, I think we've got the entire rabbit warren at our fingertips.
Thanks guys so much for hanging in there with us. We appreciate you as always, and we are very excited to go on to our next podcast, which actually, which one of these amazing 5 topics shall we cover in the next one?
We'll do one of them.
We'll do one of them. You guys let us know which one you want the most. Whatever one you ask the most questions about, we'll do that one.
We'll do that one. So get your questions in, and we'll do that podcast just for you.
Yes, perfect.
Thank you, Heather. That has been great.
Thanks, Andrew.
And look forward to the next one.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
All passengers and cabin crew should now be seated with their seatbelt securely fastened.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first officer speaking.
On behalf of your captains, Andrew Macaulay and Heather Porter, we would like to thank you for taking the journey with us to autopilot your business. You are now closer to putting your own business on autopilot using the internet. Of course, if you would like to rack up some frequent flyer points, visit our website, www.autopilotyourbusiness.com, or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/autopilotyourbusiness. These frequent flyer points are totally useless, but the information is gold. Until we fly again, happy travels!